don't be concerned. It's me and Jimmy, but more, we've got reinforcements coming.
We'll keep it all negative.
you got to see how good Josue looks, by the way. As soon as you see him, you're going to lose it.
He looks sharp. In the garden. Yeah, I'm getting Bobby's a haircut Friday, not a big deal, but he beat me to the punch.
He looks good. He looks really good.
It looks like he was at the game tonight, which he was. So we've got Josue there. We've got Bobby there.
They're on standby right now because it's really loud at the garden. So we're just going to filibuster a little bit until those guys, till they stop playing.
The garden's rocking.
That damn rock and roll music that the kids like.
And we'll
talk a little bit about the Celtics who beat the Sixers. And look, this was a gross game and two teams played gross basketball.
Yeah.
And it's really hard.
But it was
to,
a
like,
gross win.
But it was so a gross win. And it could have been bad. A couple things happened late in that game. The green three, whatever. Friggin' 30-footer over a taller defender. Great. Hats off to him. Schroeder takes a garbage shot there.
That was a bad shot. But let's not forget.
No, and then so everything else a loss was in the cards. But then who swoops in and saves us? Rob.
Oh, I was going to say Al. Al played some pretty good defense right before Rob got a hand on that shot. Rob, your guy, I should have known that's where you're going with that. Anytime you get a chance to, you will. Great defense all around that possession from the bigs. Yeah. You know, Al pushing Harris out, you know, way, way out where he couldn't do anything. And then they had to rush something at the last second, the corner three, and Rob was in a great position to get a hand on it.
Any win is a win. I agree 100% here.
Any win is a win. Yeah,
and
you basically won again without Jalen. He is just not right. I don't care if he's on the court. That was a win without Jalen Brown tonight.
And that's the thing. If you're going to pull a headline off of this game, I think that that's the one I'm going to kind of, and not to like immediately go to like gloom and doom negative. You're definitely a little worried watching Jalen because he just looks, a couple of you guys on our threads during the game were just throwing out like, well, he's, you know, and what did you say you saw at the end of the game, Jimmy? Looks like he's gimping around, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you guys rewatch the last play, Rob makes the block, everyone's celebrating, and Jalen Brown's just kind of standing there. He actually kind of looks away. And I just, obviously, he's happy about the win, but something's wrong. And I think CSN or NBC Boston, as they were cutting away, they showed like Jalen Brown sort of walking off, and he was like kind of grimacing, limping a little bit. Like, he's just not, he shouldn't be playing. It's very obvious he shouldn't be playing. And I think tonight, I hope I'm wrong, but I think tonight he may have re-injured or made something worse. So if it's a hamstring injury, certainly didn't feel like he's recovered from it. So I wouldn't be shocked if he doesn't play Friday night. I mean, I'm not a doctor, but I kind of am with these things. So
everyone knows I'm a doctor. Right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of a doctor.
Yeah.
So I would say, based on what I saw, my early prognosis is that he's probably doubtful for Friday night's game. But that's the negative of the game. The positive is that they pulled out a win. Yes, they couldn't shoot. Tatum's still struggling from the field. I don't want to harp on the rebounds because everyone else is going to, but he did, I think, end up with like 15. That's 16. All I'm going to say about it. I don't want to talk about Tatum's reboundings, but he is doing other things out there that we were clamoring for him to do over the years. So he's doing it now, so we have to give him credit where credit is due. You mentioned Schroeder. I thought Smart had a pretty solid game too. He didn't have that bonehead shot that Schroeder had. Typically, that's left for Marcus Smart, but Schroeder took that one tonight. But I will say this about Schroeder.
This is a funny one. I don't know if that means we're the stars.
Is that good or bad?
Or we're the two mopey guys up in the balcony, you know, crapping all over
everything. I'm going to say we're the stars. We're going to see. Bobby is Bobby's Grant.
Bobby's Grant. Josue is Al. Yeah.
Josue is Al, old reliable.
Solid,
absolutely.
Solid performer. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know what you're going to get usually.
Guys, hold on.
I'm like 2 for 15, Tatum.
I'm gonna talk to the ghosts of Josue and Bobby. Has the music stopped there, guys?
Yeah, give us a thumbs up or a thumbs down.
Give us a thumbs up or a wave, and we'll let you in there. No, still
couldn't really hear us earlier.
People are asking for a live show during the game. We might do that if the games start to merit that.
What do you have? What do you have for a takeaway, John? Other than Rob's, you know, final play of the game. From this, I mean, is it just another offensively challenged night, or would you say the defense kind of did its thing? I mean, Embiid, I don't know how much of that you want to credit Embiid to like rust, COVID, but I mean, he was off all night. I thought Al played, you know, Al once again showed that he's Embiid's daddy out there, I thought.
That was takeaway number one. It's hard to watch this game. And like, the national headline of this game is going to be Embiid's shooting performance and the fact that the Celtics either shut him down or he had an awful game, depending on which spin you want to put on it. It's really hard if you're the Celtics, especially after the Rob Williams experience defending Joel Embiid last year, where that was like the game that broke Rob, right? Everything was going great. Then he went in there and he fouled seven times in like 3 minutes.
He was like, I'm actually not good.
Yeah.
Wait, I'm
like,
not good?
Oh no. And then he went into the tank.
Everybody
for a
told
bit.
Me I was good.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just watching the guard report and that guy, John, kept talking about me.
Yeah. Oh no, this is what a good player looks like. I'm ruined.
And he went in the tank for a little bit. And you know, that was like, and then everyone's like, oh crap, you know, like we still can't use him against.
Yeah.
And so what happened?
Maybe he was seeing ghosts after that.
You bring back the friggin' Embiid stopper, you know, which was, you know, Al's, you know, during those years.
The reincarnation. I'm calling this the reincarnation of Al Horford. That's what this is.
When the Celtics were dominating the Sixers for those couple of years there.
In Al Horford's own body.
It was Al who was doing it. I got a thumbs up from Bobby, so we're gonna roll the dice here that he's good.
That could
got a thumbs up from both these guys. Bring him in.
Oh man.
Bring him in.
I don't know how loud
bring
him
in.
Get him back.
But they got Whitney Houston going right now.
Well,
low.
We got
man.
We got Grant now in the
somebody.
Building.
Yeah. I want to feel the heat with somebody.
Yeah, right.
It's somebody who loves
her. I was guessing. Is that what she's
yeah,
that
what it is, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, wait. No. It's not. My bad. It's I get so emotional.
No. I get so emotional, baby, every time I think of you. Well, we missed you guys.
Yeah, that's a garden song.
That is a garden song.
That's a song that you'd play after a win in a basketball game.
It's a great intro. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I get
What's
so
up,
emotional,
fellas?
Baby, every time I think of you guys.
Hey, Rob got emotional. So did the fans out here. They were going crazy.
Oh, what a stand.
What a finish. That was good.
Yeah.
Because honestly, you could feel. You could feel the tension. They're like, wait a minute. I think they're going to blow this guy. You can see people on the screen like,
right?
This is how it ends, right? Like, this is usually the makings of a disappointing loss, but not this time.
Bobby's boy from Peabody, right?
Oh, my Lord. Yeah.
That was something. Shout out random kid from Peabody.
I mean, his face is still in his hands after the after the one-point victory, right?
Well, you guys were there. Give us your take.
Well, that was a picturesque defensive stand on the last possession. I heard you guys talking about it. Switching, like you can just see on that play alone how far it's come.
Locked
Horford
in.
Horford hands off Brown and Embiid being unable to get the ball in the low post against Brown on a possession like that. That's just incredible. And then Rob Martin, another one. Everybody's on a string. I thought they were for most of this game. Things broke down into the bench a little bit. I hated how the bench played in this game. Torched by George's Niang, almost at the end too. Andre Drummond getting spot buckets in the fourth quarter. Those type of guys, you can't let those guys burn you. And I thought Schroeder, again, good boost midway through the fourth, but just an awful shot on that last possession. Terrible decision. He was good. They needed his buckets. We talk about that all the time, but you've got to be better
especially at a time
the
when they were
making.
Yeah, especially when they kind of stagnated, he gave him a little boost there doing the thing that he does. But yeah, that last shot was brutal. Just where you're
does, oh, Joe. Come off it.
Just keeps defenses on their heels. Like I just think they feel like they didn't know what to do with him. They had their game plan just focused on, you know, Thibault covering Tatum, who did a good job in a sense, right? He made him really work for his buckets today. And I think that went a long way for Tatum because that's something we want to keep seeing that. You know, him not, if he doesn't get it the easy way, then sure. Let's see him get these kind of points where, or this kind of performance where he's scoring 25 plus points, 26 tonight, but getting into the rim, you know, grabbing down rebounds, getting beat up tonight. That was great. Like, I love that. I love to see that out of Tatum because it's only going to make him stronger in the end. But, you know, you go back to what the defense meant for the Celtics team. You know, the way they double-teamed Joel Embiid, it was a hard-fought win. But as Ime Udoka put it best, like, wasn't pretty. He even apologized after this one. He goes, I'm sorry, that wasn't pretty. But, you know, it is what it is. We're glad we got the win.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I didn't want to – let me ask you, before we get into – I think Jalen is a big story. Before we get fully into that, you know, for most of the game, it was a tough game to peg, like, you know, when we're like, what are we talking about here? Because you just couldn't get a sense of the flow. How much do you think was Celtics defensive pressure on what they were doing? How much of it was just kind of ugly offense both sides? And the Sixers are a good defensive team, or can be, as well. Obviously better when you have Simmons out there. But, I mean, it's just – It was just an ugly game. I'm trying to figure out how much of that was attributed to the defense.
Well, on Wednesday games, I'm now 2-0. I'm picking the result. But the Nets last week, Celtics, Sixers this week.
And I feel this isn't the answer to the question that I asked.
Well, no, I'm getting into it. I'm leaning it up.
Okay, sorry.
Standing really up is. Here, Stephen A.
Mute him.
Get him in the flowers, Bobby. Come on.
They put bodies on Joel Embiid in the lane, and he was not feeling good physically. You could see him grabbing the wrist. Energy, fatigue, that sort of thing. Issues with him in the past, and of course, coming back from 9 days of COVID, that's about as bad of a start as I've ever seen from him. So I do think guys like Ennis Freedom, Al Horford in the post, blocking his putback early on, putting pressure on him, getting up enough to be able to reject some of those shots early on, and just playing him physical, taking advantage of the physicality that's allowed in the league now. Like Doc Rivers was just raving about all the physicality that you can play with on the defensive end of the floor, the way they're calling these games now. Well, I think very few teams are benefiting from it as much as the Celtics are right now. Like, they are just pounding guys. You see Horford on that last possession, just carrying. Everyone's complaining to the ref after, but they're allowing that now. There's a real physicality. There's a real toughness to the way you're allowed to play defense now. I think it benefits the Celtics immensely.
Nobody puts me in a corner.
All right, hey, John, I know John's you like the producer and everything, but you don't have to have the biggest picture out here.
I don't like that.
John's getting
that.
Creative over here.
No, that was, you know what that was? That was the glitch on this thing now when you're messing around with your name.
Yep.
It just did Free that. Stream. I didn't do that.
Are you messing around with your name, John? Are you
Bobby, next time he does that, you got to yell at him. You have to now.
I was just going to say, I got blamed for that for weeks.
It's much funnier. All right, the Garden Report postgame show, as always, is brought to you by our exclusive wagering partner, BetOnline. Just go to betonline.ag, use the code CLNS50 for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. We've got it all going right now. You got basketball, hockey, NFL football, NCAA football, horses, MMA, golf. Is there still golf? If there isn't, there will be. There's always golf.
There's always some kind of golf.
Props, live betting, all kinds of weird stuff. Outside of the sports realm, anything you want to, place a bet on.
Yep.
BetOnline's got it. BetOnline.ag. Code CLNS50. 50% welcome bonus. Go check it out right now. And as always, make sure to gamble responsibly.
No, your fault.
Back to what Bobby was saying, though, about Al. To me, it was Al and company in terms of, who's guarding Joel Embiid, and whoever was next
that's
to him
fine.
Out amplified it to another notch. It felt like even with Grant, even with Kanter, I saw some defense out of Kanter, especially on the double team on Joel Embiid that I haven't really seen since he was in Portland. Maybe I just feel like we haven't seen. I mean, he's not that guy. Let's face it. But Al's getting it out of him, or at least he did tonight. So I thought that meant a lot.
I'm willing to say the Celtics played good defense. Why did the Celtics offense suck though? Because it sucks, or because the Philly made it
hard? Well, that's what I was worried about. I mean, the way they've had trouble getting to the rim.
Across the Philly.
Yeah. The Embiid factor, right? You cannot get in there against their big bodies. Tatum struggled immensely, I thought, getting to the rim. But credit to him. Leaned on the mid-range. We haven't loved it. But for an offense that struggles, for a team that's just not going to shoot efficiently, you just take the baskets where you can get them. And I know you do love that, John. In a game like this where the paint's not available, just shoot over those guys. And Schroeder did it. Tatum did it.
Be Josh Richardson.
Yeah, Richardson. I thought Richardson was awesome again here. Yeah. Comes back from that big hit he took to the face, and it was a big one. He got four stitches and hits a shot to begin the fourth quarter, sets up Grant in the corner. Grant did nothing and just comes in, hits that big corner three. I thought the offense was timely. I mean, you said it, John. Both teams struggled immensely here on the offensive end, and the Celtics offensively were just a little bit better. And that says something, because Philly's a pretty good offense. So these are the kind of games you can win, I think, if you're the Celtics this year against really good teams. And I am pretty impressed by this one. I said it coming in, I expected them to win, but I was also going to be impressed if they won against this team.
A little bit of both. I think the refs kind of letting them play helped the Celtics here, because this is a pretty low free throw game for both teams. 17 and 15 attempts. Embiid's had games with 20, alone against the Celtics before. And remember how frustrated we got last time, which is he gets fouled a ton anyway. You can't give him the contact. You can't give it to him every single time. So thankfully it wasn't one of these heavy whistle games in that regard, because that, you know, the pace with between the pace of play and the friggin' net coming undone, we couldn't have dealt with like a whole shit ton of free throws here.
Gosh.
This would have been like a baseball game if it went any slower.
It felt like it. I mean, it's one thing to have some net repairs going on once, but to have that guy trot his ladder rack out there,
get it right.
You had one opportunity.
You got one thing to do, one job.
It was the biggest moment of this guy's life.
I know.
I mean, it's one thing to you know, change the net, but you do it in front of 18,000 people. You better be ready for the call. You have to be ready at all times.
If one of you two don't do a story on that guy, it would be a shame. One of you.
Yeah, we're revoking the press pass.
One of you has to track down net guy and do a story on how he.
That's really the lead tonight, to be completely honest, is net guy's
contribution. I mean, they came out at the beginning of halftime, and there was one of those little kid games going on. Walked off half the court. He was getting boos. I think the pressure got to him because the crowd got on him for shutting down the kids' halftime game there.
So
they didn't get it done at half. They had the whole half to do it.
This
you're
is
telling
the freaking
me they
NBA.
Started this, they started this at halftime and they still couldn't get the net wrapped around
the They started at
the
beginning of halftime. They thought they fixed it completely.
No, you
they
know what it was?
They interrupted a kids' game to do it, and they didn't do it right.
For the
they
kids,
needed some,
man.
Like, already used nets. Like, I feel like it was, like, too new or something. I don't know. It's like, was scrunched up or something.
I mean, there's three guys. How many guys does it take to just change the net? Three guys. They got six hands up there. You know, everyone's hands are in each other's hands. You know, one guy's pulling one out. It's a complete disaster.
To start the third quarter, they had the whole halftime. Why is
the whole half
delayed?
The first time it was like, okay, it's cool, we can sing and dance, get on the big screen. The second time,
it
was like, all right, what's going on?
Too many cooks in the kitchen, too many hands on the net. You only have one set of hands to do that job.
A portion of the TPE has to go to a new net guy.
I'm not calling for anyone's job, especially at the holidays, but I'll say this. He better be ready the next time his name is called, because it's a one-strike league.
Yes, or at least we need, some net guy depth. Okay, right?
Yeah,
because
that's a good point. I don't think he should have been the guy to come out the second time. I think he had his chance in the first time. They needed a fresh arm or two fresh arms for that. If you've ever done that, it can get tiring. Your hands are just. Yeah, in the driveway, you've had to replace a net a few times. You know what it's like. Get up there on the ladder and your arm's starting to get tired. I'm not doing it in front of 18,000 people. It's just me and like my annoying brother who's like, let's go. I can only imagine.
Record the interviews, just holding your hand up there for 10 minutes.
Do we even know what was wrong with the net?
No, I mean,
no explanation. That's what everyone's
You know what? You really don't need a net. You know, I was going to say, that's it. I don't want to see this guy again.
This is a good one.
I wasn't doing it.
Bad net rating.
Ooh,
I like it.
That's pretty good.
That's when the
bad
arguments break out about if the ball went through the net or not.
But you know what? I couldn't do another delay. Just take the net off. And in this game, just assume it was an air ball, because the way they were missing, there wasn't too many swishes anyways.
Yeah.
That was better than my Brooklyn Nets ones.
Yeah.
Speaking of net rating.
Bobby's desperately trying to Bobby desperately wants to get this conversation back to basketball.
Two guys, one net.
Well, I do want to hear what you guys thought of the first game in a new uniform of NS Freedom.
You know,
I wasn't blown away.
I'm having a tough time. Yeah, Gorman called him Freedom like 12 times in the first few minutes, and every time it was weird. Yeah, I get it. I understand.
Yeah, Bobby, we know you've written an article about him already. You've called him Freedom the whole time. Like, we understand.
I get it.
That's his name. You know, you can go and change your name. You know,
go to NBA.com. It's what it says.
I'm happy for Ennis Freedom.
We know how legal name changes work. You know,
his real name is Ennis. He is still going by Ennis Cantor Freedom. His middle name is Cantor. I still think it's fair game if you want to refer to him as Ennis Cantor Freedom. I think we can do that if the whole Ennis Freedom.
Cantor Freedom.
I'm going to change my name to Love, Jimmy Love, and no one can do anything about it.
Yeah, can I just say, I think it's funny that usually they have both hoops
like
going
that.
For this like season ticket holder event, whatever they're doing. Only one hoop, only the good hoop. No one's shooting on the other one.
No, I would go near that other hoop. Oh, you know what? Right, I kind of would. I would just blame the hoop.
Let's go around the world. We got Jimmy Love. John, what's your new last name?
I'm working on it.
All right, Joe Sway.
John Anger.
When you guys on the spot.
John Boomerage.
Yeah. No.
Josue. I would say Josue Smooth.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I thought you were gonna play me there, Jimmy. Appreciate
it. Sway smooth. No, bro, I got you. It's the holidays, so I'll be nice.
You know what I'm going with.
Hold on, don't tell me.
No, I don't. I'm curious though. What do you say?
What? What do you got? Wait, Bobby Underoos.
Nope.
Okay.
Bobby Hayward.
Bobby Hayward. God. Yeah, it's true. You won't give up on that, will you?
I didn't see that coming. That's funny.
Bobby wants so badly for everyone to say that he looks like Gordon Hayward, where he's actually going to legally change his name to Hayward.
Wait, does Hayward have the stash going? Is that why you have the stash going right now, Bobby?
Johnny Rage.
No, that goes back to 2019.
I like that, Johnny Rage.
Any comic book fans, it's kind of like Johnny Storm, which is...
there's none of those.
Could be Bobby Mustache. Why not?
The Human Torch.
Keep your comic book collection to yourself.
Bobby Gordon.
John
Sounds like a NASCAR.
I like, I like this one.
Nice. That brings it all.
He's never gonna live that down.
John Herman Gomez.
John Ocho Stuffing.
Yeah.
Stuffing.
I like Jay Smoove, obviously, for Joe Sway. That's a good one.
Jay
Smoove.
Yeah. Okay, Bobby Turtleneck.
There's a lot of ways.
We have it on today. Over. Rather off the tongue as well.
It's half.
Bobby Argyle Vest from last
Joe Sway Brockton.
I like that.
It sounds like an actor or something.
Sorry, everyone.
That's like when you do the porn name, when you take like your address and your the street an name and all of those. Yeah.
All right.
Jay
Bobby's
Brock.
Like, basketball, were please.
Were you impressed by Freedom in this one? Because I didn't like his game.
Look, once again, if he's getting blocked at the rim and he's not doing the putbacks there, that limits the effectiveness of the offensive rebounds because it negates it. So that's a problem. But the big body, it was obvious they wanted two big bodies out there. They never wanted to leave Rob on an island with Embiid. They wanted to have some friggin', you know, somebody there.
Just
for the body. Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, what was it? Minus one.
And that served a purpose. There were a couple of times he came up against it, and just simply being his size was all he needed to be. To be in position and to kind of help the situation. So I actually think he was generally speaking a net positive.
I do too. I mean, listen, he's not gonna, you know, win, you know, sixth man of the year off of this game, but I think he was
this one hurts.
Right in the middle of me's talking too.
Ow. Anyway, it wasn't
James Jones.
Either.
You know, you don't have to watch, bud. You can just hit that little X in the corner, and there's probably another show somewhere you can watch.
Yeah,
it makes you feel better. Go ahead.
I think Cantor was this is a serviceable game for him. You know, he went in there, Embiid still ended up with like 18 boards or something like that. So it's not like Cantor was, you know, patrolling the paint or anything like that, but. They limited him on the offensive end. I know it wasn't all Cantor, obviously. You know, Horford was a big part of it. Rob was a big part of it. You know, George's Niang, I forget how to pronounce his last name already, but he's a solid player. I mean, and a local guy. So shout out to the local guy.
He was really
Lawrence
good
Mass native.
I'm surprised they let him go. He was a great bench player for them, and he really hurt the Celtics in that second quarter. Like Shake Milton. Drummond, these are the guys that hurt you here, which is weird because, you know, you think of the dangerous guys like Curry, and he was good. You know, some of these other wing guys.
15 types of stuffing.
Would have been tough to lose to those kind of guys there. Especially at the buzzer.
That would have been a tough loss, but honestly, like, it's hard to say they played well enough to win. I mean, if they lost, they would have been like, yeah, well, you scored 88 points, like you lost. So
it's a different show.
It's an ugly win.
Yeah, it's kind of a meltdown at the end. I do think you did everything you needed to do to get there, though. I mean, you built a double-digit lead early. The bench kind of slid. I mean, Tatum, like, he didn't have a great night tonight, but he worked through some early struggles, and he was the only guy hitting shots down the stretch there. So I do think you have to give him some credit for persevering through this one, ending 9-20, decent shooting split, especially by his standards this year. I was pretty impressed by what he did in a very physical, tough game. That was the first, like, I know it wasn't the game winner, but that was the first, like, game icing-ish shot from him in a while against the heavy pressure there. And, you know, almost near the foul. I forget who was contesting him there, but that was a big, big shot. And those are the kind of ones you should be expecting him to hit, you know, as the lead man of this team. So it was great to see him kind of get back to form in this one, too.
Yeah.
Who, Tatum?
I was thinking about.
I wouldn't say he got back to form.
Yeah, 9 of 20. That's closer to who he is.
But it's so effortful. That's the thing. Is like,
well, that's the kind of game it was.
You know, he's trying. Yeah. And you're right. It was a bit of a rock fight. So you're right.
Yeah, because nothing, John. Otherwise, they get off from behind the arc. You know, I was thinking it. I know you guys probably were. Seth Curry, and then look, Danny Green comes up big. Yeah. You know, down the stretch, and I'm thinking Seth and Danny's getting this at the end. But Thibault, he drove a little too long for me. But of course, Rob made the difference at the end.
Seth stepped out of bounds on that bad one.
Yeah, that was tough when he went baseline.
And then
there.
He committed a foul on the next possession. That was a bad foul
Brown,
on Schroeder.
Yeah, and, was it Schroeder or Brown?
It was Schroeder in the paint. Schroeder drove through the paint, met Embiid, and was pretty much trapped in the middle of the paint. And then Curry just came over, just like, I don't know what he was thinking. He just slapped down on the ball.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's why they
bailed him out.
That's why Dallas, traded him for Richardson, which wasn't a good move in the end, but yeah, defender for an offensive guy. And again, like, I gotta give Richardson a ton of credit here. We've talked about him, but I didn't expect him to be this good for this team. I think he's a really good bench piece for them. Not a ton of pressure on him to create, just score in spots, defend well. He did that, and he was a big part of this win. Like, you know, this is Horford's revenge game, but it's sort of Richardson's too. I mean, Richardson did not have a good time that year with them either. And he kind of took it to them here at certain points. So, I mean, you just feel really good about this one, I think. Because Philly's an upper echelon team. When they have everybody together like this, I know the record, you see it down there, 11-11. They're way better than that. They were right up at the top of the league before COVID. You beat a big-time team here. You really did.
You really did.
Agreed.
We did it.
Win's a win.
Exactly. Yes. I don't care how.
Right before the road trip, you know, this is one of those games where, you know, you might – you know, the Sixers weren't on their game tonight for a number of reasons, and this is a game where you had a chance to win, and you did. And that's exactly what you need to do right before a road trip like this. We've talked about the schedule getting a lot more difficult. So these are the games where when you see the opening, you strike, and they held them off. They didn't have that fourth quarter collapse that they've kind of been known for this season. It was close. It was very close.
It is,
but a defensive stand prevented it. It wasn't like the Sixers just, you know, blew it on a miss at the rim or something. Like they did what they needed to do. They played defense and they won the game because of it. So,
and Philly never really took control of the game, right? Like the Celtics did early.
No,
they blew it. You know, it's tough to say you blow a 10-point lead in the first.
Yeah, outside of that run in the first half.
I mean, all Philly really did was build like a, 3-4 point lead at the biggest through that second half, and Celtics erased it pretty quickly each time. You're not happy if, you know, you're looking at this final score and you had other thoughts about the game, you know, other implications here, but if you only care about win-loss, it's a good one.
Oh, yeah, let's just say they lost. What are we talking about? What didn't we like?
Whatever led to the loss at the end. Obviously, we'd be talking about Schroeder, bad decision, and not being able to close if they blew a 4-point lead there.
I mean, they're all still real things that happen. It's just the result was.
I mean, that's what I'm trying to think about, right?
The large takeaway from the game is Jaylen, and we've been kind of slow playing getting into it because we didn't want to lead.
Well, let's talk about it. We didn't want to get pissed at us when we don't talk about.
We didn't want to lead a win with talking about the negative, but Jaylen Brown looks like. Jaylen Brown is walking around the court looking like a guy who's waiting for his friggin' leg to explode.
I know, right? Like, what is going on?
That's all he looks like. He looks like all he can think about is the next step going to be my last step? It's literally, you can see it in his mind with everything that he does. And then when he's walking up and down the court, he's just slow and he's just kind of always just clearly off.
I saw that from him what was the first game he came back for? You know, a couple of games ago. It wasn't San Antonio. It was the one before that. But whatever game he came back for, it was kind of uncertain if he was going to play coming into it. And you saw him in the layup line doing his warm-up, testing it out, seeing if he was going to go. Like, not moving that well. Kind of just slow playing, as you say, John. Like, lumbering around, not looking great. And I saw that, and I'm like, I don't know if he's going to play in this one. And he did. Did moderately well. And then you go to the press conference after that, it's like, oh, he's still questionable for the next week or so here. Doesn't make all that much sense to me. Ime says he looks good. I don't see it. I don't see him moving well. I don't see the burst. And that's so strange. We talked about it a couple episodes ago. You don't come back early from a hamstring and then kind of manage it and see if you need to miss another game. You just kind of wait until it's better, right? And that doesn't seem to be what they did here. Again, I didn't see the MRI. I didn't do the medical evaluation here, but it just
And if you had good. Seen the MRI, what do you think that would have accomplished?
Yeah.
All right, guys, quick pause. We want to tell you about one of our sponsors, and that is INSA. We're welcoming back INSA.
INSA.
Yeah, exactly. It's one of Massachusetts' premier cannabis dispensaries, INSA, I-N-S-A. Their founders, Pat and Pete, they re-engineered the cannabis model from what they sell to how they sell it. INSA dispensaries are inviting. They're modern. The staff are authorities on the science. They go in there. They can answer any question, difference between flowers, concentrates, what you want to take for insomnia, anxiety.
Edibles.
Hanging out with friends, whatever you want. They'll tell you exactly what you need to fill your needs. World-class head chef there as well. And again, the founders, one thing we want to tell you about head them, they're chef? Local. They're local. They're from Western Mass.
Salem.
Yep. No.
Oh, yeah.
Located in Salem, but
there's a location in Salem.
They're from Springfield. Bobby jumped the gun because the Salem location is near his house.
Springfield.
But they're lifelong pals from Springfield. There's a couple of locations out there. One near the MGM Casino. You can also go to East Hampton, or as Bobby said, Salem.
Salem.
This is the thing. Not enough people took advantage of this, so we're going to tell you about the deal one more time. If you go there and you mention that the Garden Report told you to stop by, you get a t-shirt for a penny. That's literally all you have to do. And then you get anything else you want there too. That's not on us, but the t-shirt is on us. One penny.
You know what? And I have a couple t-shirts and they're very comfy too.
So yes, go to
t-shirts.
Get that green one.
Otherwise, go to INSA.com or call 877-500-INSA for any inquiries you have about anything else going on. But if you want the t-shirt for a penny, just mention the Garden Report. Go get yourself some. Once again.
Have a good time.
Yeah, have a good time. Visit the various locations throughout Massachusetts or go to INSA.com or call 877-500-INSA.
I'm sorry.
You know something about reading those things?
I think go. No, but I mean, look.
It doesn't look too bad.
But no, Bobby, I mean, kidding
Google's
aside.
Like an actual skeleton.
I'm very confused by the situation.
In our limited understanding of, friggin' injuries and how they work and blah, blah, the one thing we've always known, hamstrings, soft tissue injuries don't get better while playing. The only way they get better is through rest. I don't understand what they're doing. I don't understand putting somebody in who's less than 100% and hoping he doesn't friggin', pop the thing. Like,
I don't get it either. Who's signing off on that?
These trainers, things don't work that
doctors
way.
Doctors and trainers are like, yeah.
In the history of hamstrings, have they ever had a guy come back and be like, just kind of wing it. It's always you wait until you feel 100% to avoid re-aggravation. He looks like he's playing on something that's like aggravated. Like he looks currently injured. I don't understand what they're doing.
Think he plays Friday.
How does he get better playing every other day?
I don't see him playing on that back-to-back. He's going to miss one of those games.
But it's never worked this way.
That's not how you manage it.
I honestly think
tonight was it looked like it was worse than maybe what we thought. And I think I don't know if you reheard it or heard it more tonight, but I said this, but you guys weren't on the show at the time. But when the Celtics won the game, zero reaction from him. I'm not saying he wasn't happy they won, but like it was clearly his mind was elsewhere. And I'm assuming it's whatever's hurting him, because he didn't go celebrate with the team right away. He kind of looked in the other direction. He was kind of upset. And then the TV, I was watching on, NBC Boston, and they kind of cut away and you could see him sort of grimacing a little bit and slowly walking off the court, almost limping off the court. So I don't know if something happened during this game to make it worse than it was before the game started, but you guys are right. Why is he playing right now? I mean, this is game 20-ish of the season. You're going to need him later on in the year, and if you make it, you're going to need him in the playoffs to be completely healthy. So, you know, using him now and potentially, you know, aggravating an injury or making it worse, it just doesn't make any sense. Like,
yeah,
they have a team of doctors and trainers and they have a whole freaking staff. Can somebody get it right?
Yeah, and I don't know what they're gaining.
The medical staff went to Jimmy Toscano Home Medical School.
Yeah, and seriously.
They diagnosed this injury.
Yeah, yeah, certified.
But it's not a rub some dirt on it injury. It's a rest injury.
And they don't
understand. It's a soft tissue injury. I don't understand this play through it thing.
And it's a shift because
I muted you because it's loud as hell.
I know. My fault. They're tearing things down. But no, I was going to say,
good.
Do any of you guys feel like this happens if they weren't playing the Sixers or at least one of the top notch teams? I just felt like the way Ime was talking before this one and his pregame presser, he was like, man, finally, we're 100% healthy. You know, yeah, a bit of a minute restriction on Jalen and we're going to monitor Rob, but he just looks so excited to have that starting five back together. And, of course, Jalen's a big part of that. So, you know, from an effort standpoint, after the game, Ime saying, look, he gave it all he had. You know, I spoke to him. He said he's all right. And clearly Jalen maybe.
He was pushing to come back for that Cleveland series, remember? And, you know, Abby.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, Jalen's not going to do it. He's not going to tell the whole truth. But at the same time, I just think they really wanted to have it working together for this one. So maybe we'll see their first West Coast road trip. But Jalen has to – I say Jalen makes that trip, but I'd be surprised if he plays all those games.
He's going to make the trip, but that's why I kind of wish that they sat him. I mean, this is, you know, Monday morning quarterback, but just based on the way he looked out there. But knowing what they know, like, why couldn't he have just sat tonight, give him a couple extra days rest before this road trip? You got five games on the road coming up. You're on the road for a week. You don't have – you know,
you
don't have like all your, you know, what you would typically have for, you know, recovery and going to the, you know, going to the trainers and stuff in Boston because you're on the road.
Well, why are we even talking about this though? Like, oh, he might not play certain games on the road trip or he's day to day for the week ahead because he came back tonight.
You're out. Why not? You're ready.
What is this? It's not
I don't
like
get it either.
If they were way below 500 and like really reeling, maybe you understand it because they got to push their way back into this. And, you know, he is pushing his way back in to get the team right. Like they're not in a great position right now, but they're not in a terrible one. And it sort of reminds me of last year. Remember we were looking for those rest nights for Brown and Tatum. And Brad was just like, oh, we're not in a position to rest guys. It's like, health's the big thing, right? In the end, because Brown ends up falling apart by the end of the year and you're like, oh, maybe they should have rested him. I don't think it's a terrible thing to sit a guy out until he's completely healthy. You know, they were doing well anyway. They went 8-3 without him. It's not like they were completely sinking without him. Again, we're not privy to all the information here, but it just seems dubious. It really does.
Has a lot to do with it too, and just them rallying together, you know, having everyone healthy and sort of like a great rah-rah.
But they're not. They're not healthy.
No, I mean, like, they were available, rather. Okay, with everyone available, like, that's happened, what, maybe two times this season?
Yeah, it barely happens. But now we know why, because they don't wait for them to come back healthy. It's like, okay, congrats. You had them all together for a game. But now, because of it, are you saying that now Jaylen Brown has got to miss the next two because he's, you know, hurting or whatever? He's got to get on a plane now and go out to the West Coast and do all that stuff? And like I said, you can't go to, you know, the team's facilities and get treatment and all that stuff that he typically would get. You know, he's got to do everything based on where they are on the road now.
It's so easy to see. I mean, we're standing here from miles away seeing the just stretching and all the aggravation it seems to be causing him. And this isn't the playoffs. I don't think there's a great reason to push through that and deal with that and just, you know, risk re-injuring it, which we know is a concern. They've talked about it. The history that he has with this injury, the risk of re-aggravation the hamstrings have. Again, none of us are experts, but it just doesn't sit right with me.
No. Yeah. All right. Well, let me sneak this in real quick. Remind people again, one of our sponsors is Calm.com. Calm. Stay calm.
Calm.com, baby.
Number one sleep and meditation app out there. So get in on that if you want. It is a limited time offer. Calm.com/garden, 40% off for, like I said, the number one app for sleep and meditation, teamed up with LeBron James to help you train your mind and become the champion/best version of yourself. right? With Calm, you have access to nature scenes, rain, leaves, songs, stories, all sorts of meditations. Can be ready for any challenges that life throws your way. So again, limited time, all our listeners and viewers here, calm.com/garden. Guys, just check it out. 40% discount. You know, give it a try. You can do a trial and see if you like it. But check it out. Premium membership, calm.com/garden, 40% off.
Yeah, I just want to say real quick, everyone listening right now, just take a deep breath. Inhale. Exhale. Josue, you're muted. Couldn't hear you. Thank God, because we're all exhaling right
I've
now.
I've muted so everybody because they're literally...
We're exhaling, guys. This is what calm.com would be telling you right now if you're there on the app. Feels a lot better when you do it on the app than what just happened now, because I was really interrupted by all these people who don't understand calm.com/garden. But that's just one of the things you'll learn on the app. And
oh my God, are they moving the entire garden?
And there you go.
To another place?
There you go.
Jesus Christ. Calm.com/garden,
40% off.
Okay.
It's like it sounds
I promise
like
John. I promise John doesn't cut in on any of the
seating is finally removed.
It literally sounds like they're giving the entire garden a root canal. Like it's
all the that's the baseline seating finally all removed. So that'll stop.
My gosh.
Now they're onto the court.
You guys act like you've never seen the garden go from a basketball court to a hockey rink before.
It's like Josue.
We've only been to a billion games.
Our viewers haven't, Jimmy. Try and explain.
Yeah. Josue
because
is
that's
sitting
where the slamming
right
comes
from.
It's those
it.
Chairs.
Josue, what are you on, the Zamboni or something, dude?
No, it's those three, what is it, whatever, how many rows are behind the hoops. Those are the ones going, they're slamming the chairs. That's what makes the loud noise. So they finally.
We used to do the show, you know, OGs of this, before we were doing this live, we used to do the show on the court, Josue will remember this, and it was a race against time. As they were ripping the court up, we would go to the opposite end of the court, try to film everything, and like by the end of the show, they were like ripping
there's
up
like
the court that our chairs were on. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I have
like,
no idea you did that. Looking back,
we
on
can't
it.
Screw this up. They're literally gonna rip the court up. Wow.
Yeah, we were good, and it was like you know the court. They were taking it away.
Yeah,
inch by
it was
inch,
a race against
like,
time, dude. Yeah.
We're shooting.
Every video, I'd be looking back like, oh shit.
By like segment three, yeah, there's only like half court left, yeah. Or even less.
And they weren't waiting. They weren't going to wait for us, nor should they have. Because
oh,
they
no. That dude would
do.
Rip the court.
And
it was like
midnight, you know?
Yeah. It takes these guys like, I don't know, like over 2 hours.
Because we used to film, this used to be filmed after locker room was over, after everything was done. We didn't go live right after the game. We went about an hour and a half after the game. So we were the only guys left in the freaking arena at that
hanging
point.
Out. Hanging out. Yep.
Maybe we'll do that again someday.
Yeah, it would be nice. We'll get
Maine.
The band back together.
In Maine. Yeah, we'll see you there, Bob. We'll meet you up there.
If
you can guarantee a one-on-one with Luke and a couple others, I'll consider it.
Luke's we're reeling going. After a tough loss to Mexico.
People are talking, but people are buzzing about that loss.
A big deal. That's a big deal.
I don't know how big of a deal it is, but it's weird.
So the Jalen thing, we'll see. Anything that come out of the post game stuff that you guys have seen worth talking about?
There's
a good,
something about a play, right? What
Emay had
about?
A great comment about Al saying that. Look, Al's a real, you know, obviously the question came up about playing his former team. There was an extra effort in this one. He's like, listen, Al's a prideful guy, you know. So everyone knows he didn't have a great time in Philly, and everyone knows going into this one that. It's not going to define his career, but of course, it was a little bit of a little bit of effort there. But I like the way he put that because it's like seeing him come back to Boston and the way he's been performing, you know, 20 plus games in. Like, I just think that's
another weird
through.
One, right?
Like the more he continues to do this, or just the fact that he's, you know, taking on this new leadership role, you know, returning back into a different role, so to speak. I just feel like the more we're going to forget about that whole experience in Philly. It's just like a blimp in the radar. Whereas a couple years ago, I wouldn't say it would define his career, but everyone would have said, okay, well, that was the beginning of the end. Now I think he sort of changed the story a bit here, right? He changed the narrative in this and him coming back to Boston and taking on this role and thriving in it, you know, 20-plus games into the season. And this one is one that kind of falls under him, you know, and the way the defenders Joel Embiid and got the win.
Yeah, that was a weird one, his experience there. And the Sixers, I think, underrated among the dysfunctional teams in the NBA over the last 5-6 years here, making that signing. If fitting him in awkwardly next to Embiid and Simmons, of course. It was just something I think a lot of people looked at from the start and was like, how's this going to work? Like, it's good they took him away from the Celtics here. But to hear, like, Ime talk about that experience, the way they misused him, as he said, in the preseason. Horford, I think, called it challenging when he returned here to Boston. And, like, I know it's just bits and pieces of kind of shade cast on that experience, but Richardson was complaining about the locker room and just some of the interactions there. Like, we talk about how weird things have been around the Celtics over the last couple of years. Philly's had its fair share of wackiness on the inside too. And Richardson, Horford were two guys who didn't have a great experience there. And, you know, I guess if it's any solace to Celtics fans, people following Boston, seem to be having a better time here despite all the crap that comes up here too, inside the team. So there's a great what if of whether Horford returned to that team in 2020. Probably won. They obviously didn't assign Kemba. You would have been able to sign Rozier. Like, it is interesting to think about where they'd be right now if they just brought back Rozier that year. We've done segments on that. We had debates about that, and it was kind of contentious at the time. But now looking back on it, seeing what happened with Kemba this week and the last year or so here, there's really no question. Like, the best team possible would have been Rozier and Horford coming back up to 2019.
I guess it just feels – you
totally.
Everyone has to remember Terry Rozier shot 27% that year. Like, he
was – I
know,
but look at how good he is now.
I know, but that's the point. Nobody would have – seeing what you saw from Rozier, he looked unplayable. He was the worst player on –
Unplayable? No, that's too
Rozier
much.
Rozier in his –
He was last bag from the Hornets still. He couldn't
Rozier
have been unplayable.
Rozier in his last year in Boston was the worst player on that team. He was awful.
Don't make
awful.
Me rewatch.
You couldn't wait to get him out. He was awful. And the style that he played, and that he was one of those guys who wanted the ball more. And he,
well, I think, yeah, that so that's the thing. I think that
mess.
He would clash a little bit more with Tatum and Brown and Smart than he would have if he was able to. He was kind of allowed to do more of what he wanted to do in Charlotte. So I think it's kind of hard to compare Charlotte Rozier to Boston Rozier because he would have had a completely different role here. He probably would have been unhappy.
He would have been the starter here. No Kemba,
but
no Kyrie.
He would have been the starter, but he would have been like the distant third wheel starter based on like everyone's, you know, inclination on how Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum were eventually going to be. Now, whether that's right or wrong remains to be seen. I think Rozier is a baller, obviously. I'm always seeing highlights of him.
He's awesome.
His numbers in Charlotte are totally different. This is a guy who he was a sub 40% shooter for his entire career here. He used to be
a piece of shit.
No, he wasn't. He was a very low efficiency player. Sloppy.
I said was.
Yeah. He didn't turn the ball over. That was always a good thing. But I mean, he was just.
When he got in,
people
that
can
starting,
change.
Yeah, but John, people can change. David.
He transformed.
Sorry, dude.
No, you saw.
People can change.
You saw a different Rozier when he was a starter for that 18 run. I know he was bad in the game.
Let him hold the ball.
I'm saying at that time, nobody in the world objected to that move. I hate the hindsight game when 99% of people were for.
No,
what they
but
did.
I was. The question wasn't Rozier or Kemba. It was Horford at Kemba. And the Celtics did make a
Horford
run
surprised them and left. And that kind of – that threw them into a whatever.
That opened
but
the door on the cap space and everything
everyone
else
was
fell into place.
Everyone was
– So Rozier – So no.
Love
so
yes.
But it Rozier was used to slop him up. And he had a Dangerous Knights crew that just couldn't – they couldn't stay together at the end. They couldn't stick together in the end.
No, that's the thing.
Grant Williams is part of his Dangerous Knights crew.
Those score first point guards, like looking back on it, there's just – it would have been a huge gamble unless you're going in full rebuild mode, which obviously wasn't the case with Celtics.
Guys, we're not thinking about this the way people were thinking about it then. Not just in
I
Boston.
I get it, but we didn't know what the Celtics
The entire
were.
NBA was like, Charlotte gave him what? What a terrible deal. Like, yeah. It was – not a person alive thought that was a good idea to pay that guy, that man, that much money. And everybody here was thrilled to get Kemba and not Rozier. So again, you can't go back and say
what could have, what should have. It wasn't about Rozier versus Kemba, though. It was Horford versus Kemba. Would you have gone up to the 130 for Horford? I know people weren't thrilled about
that. No, it was Kyrie versus Kemba. Everyone needs to chill. Everyone needs to relax, okay? We're all, if we're gonna go back, it was Kyrie. It was, you lost Kyrie and you got Kemba. That's what this whole thing was about. And everybody was at that point pissed at Kyrie, and they were happy to have Kemba because Kemba wanted to come to Boston. Well, and he was a UConn guy, and he's, you know, cardiac Kemba. Now, it didn't work out. Obviously, hindsight's 20/20. If you go back in time, you'd keep Rozier. You'd never sign Kemba, and you'd keep Horford, and Horford probably wouldn't leave. I'm sure Horford would stay in Boston, too, if he could go back in time. So we can keep playing this game, but, you know, it is what it is.
It is what it is, and that's it. There's no reason to talk about it any further.
Right.
There's no
way. I don't even know what the hell we're talking about anymore.
It wasn't going. I hate going back and looking at that one.
Keeping Horford, would you have paid the 130 to keep him? Because guess what? Now he's back on that contract. So that was the key decision. You knew how important Horford was to his team back then. Obviously, I think people looked at that price too and were like, "Oh, that much for Horford," but. Sometimes you overpay to keep something good here, and they lost too much. They lost Rozier.
Yeah, I think we can all agree that knowing what we know now, they should have paid Horford the extra, whatever it was, $15 million or whatever he got that you didn't originally get in Boston.
That's all I'm trying to say,
Yes, Bobby. I all agree with that.
You win, Bobby. You can, the jersey on when you get home.
Wait till we get into, by the way, wait till eventually we start talking TPE and Bobby blows your mind with his proposal to use the
Bobby TPE talk.
To use the Fournier TPE on Fournier.
It was an idea that we put on the drawing board today. Once you dove into the cap, though, it's not possible. But, man, I
love it.
When I thought of that one, I was like, wow, that's a good one. That shit that
I'm so tired of the talk about the three-pointer bringing guys back.
That's what got me excited. He hit the game tying shot at the buzzer.
Well, what's funny is people wanted us to talk a little bit about Kemba. You know, I mean, wow, did that go bad fast in New York. He's been outright, not just benched, removed from the rotation.
Yeah.
I blame New York.
Yikes.
What
do you think a guy?
Let him on the subway even.
What did you think was going to happen with a defensive-minded coach like Tibbs? You know, how long is a guy like that going to tolerate?
I couldn't believe giving him that backcourt. You saw what those two did in the Celtics backcourt last year defensively. It was just a weird move all along for them to reshape the identity of that team. And again, you weren't going to bring back Ntilikina and who was the other guy? Alfred Payton. Like, you looked at those two guys and were like, this is obviously an upgrade over those two. But it changed the dynamic of the team. They were a defensive group. They were number one last year for most of the year on that end. And they flipped it to kind of dubious offensive options in that regard. And everyone said, you know, Kemba signs for $8 million, 2 years, $8 million each. And they're like, oh, no risk here. No risk at all. It's a empty, small contract. He's a great player. Like, where could this go wrong? Well, you made him a starter, and you made him a guy in the dynamic here that you were going to be relying on. And they relied on him and ended up being probably the worst starting lineup in basketball to start this year.
I defended him all last year. Yeah, I know.
I don't want to pretend I was John and piling on him and knew all this was going to happen all along. But once we all saw what happened in Brooklyn, I think we all looked at it and were like, I don't know where this goes from here. And I don't know where the Knicks go from here. They can't play him anymore. Look, I guess they can take him off the bench.
In spurts, he was slightly a net positive, I think. Oh, Josue's muted. I think he was more positive than negative last year. You just couldn't count on him. It was just a time bomb, and you knew it was going to go off at some point, you know? And so you just were trying to get out before it blew up here. The fact that you got something that you can use for
it was a miracle they pulled off that deal.
So at the time, it looked like a washed up old man Horford and his shitty salary just to get rid of Kemba.
Right.
But now you got a piece that's of actual value to you. And you got out from Kemba, who would have been a total detriment again right now.
The Thunder didn't even use the pick.
Sorry, go ahead, Josue.
if you're the Knicks, though, how do you not know how delicate the situation is? How do you not know? Look at what he look at his production last season. Look at, you know, that stretch of 6 weeks that was incredible. Looked like he was back, but then it was a downward spiral. You have to maximize that, you know? I just thought that they just sort of threw him in the fire just because, oh, you're only going to take, you know, this amount of money. Oh, so we can just maximize him now. And if he makes it through, great. If not, so be it. He didn't cost us much anyway. I just thought they didn't maximize his potential the way they should have off of his track record, off of his last two seasons in Boston. Like, why would you think someone like that was ready to just jump into the starting lineup and play as if he was the guy from Charlotte? Like, I never understood that from the very beginning.
Right.
Never understood.
And the other weird thing
is, you got to appreciate, Josue, what an explosive element this Bonnie situation is. Sorry, you're saying the Kemba situation. Anyway, go ahead, Jimmy.
Let me say one thing is the weirdest thing to me was it wasn't like they were like bad Knicks where they needed to bring in like, you know, Kemba Walker.
No, they
Walker.
Got splashy. Josue's right. Yeah.
Yeah, but like they didn't need, like if they were a basement awful team, I can understand, oh, let's bring in Kemba and see if he can get some. Get some people to come watch these games and like bring the excitement back. But they already had like a good kind of little foundation there. And I think Kemba could contribute in a positive way. But like you said, Josue, like it's like almost like a grand situation from last year. It's like, why is he playing so many minutes? Like they can't play somebody else. Like, you know, so
I know it's like if somebody like last year, you know, suggested something like playing Kemba off the bench and didn't get shouted down for it, you know, preposterous.
Yeah, weird. Yeah, that is weird. I don't know what you mean at all, but totally weird.
And the whole announcement, too, like, I don't know. A lot of it just makes me feel like Tibbs is just trying to big up Alec Burke right now. You know? It's like, this is it. This is your spot.
They needed something more reliable. You think you're coming into the year with Kemba's knees and Derrick Rose's knees, and Rose has been amazing. Probably one of the better bench players in the league to start this year. But that's what you're relying on that
But
spot.
Think about Derrick Rose, though. Is a former MVP. Like Derrick Rose at his greatest was one of the best players in the NBA. Kemba Walker, don't get me wrong, he's
a great
player.
It's just what you're relying on.
The two weren't that close.
Pre-injury Derrick Rose was something.
What's the fallback plan? Alec Burks at point MVP. Guard. It's like, they're already here.
Yep.
I mean, think of if they signed Dennis Schroeder, probably in a much better spot.
Totally.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, there's no question. There's
so
no
Celtics
question.
Celtics offseason looks pretty good, even though it wasn't amazing.
Celtics offseason looks good based off of what left doesn't look good. So, again, you didn't lose anything there.
No, it does look pretty good because, you know what?
You didn't lose in Fournier and Kemba. Those are the guys you had on your roster last year, and they both have completely washed out in a quarter season in their new destination. So that's a –
And I would still.
But Horford's been way better than what we thought he was going to be.
Come on, Bobby.
And Richardson's been way better than what we thought he was going to be. So those were two, you know, moves that nobody was really pumped about the Richardson.
And that's how limited they are, right? That the team is still floating around 500, playing very uninspired, inconsistent basketball, and they did as well as they could have done this offseason, you know, given their limitations. And so imagine how bad. I mean, you know, we all said.
Well, do you think they should have extended Smart?
To be determined, right? You know, if you get this level of play off him for a couple of years, then yes, absolutely.
He was really good against today.
Because you're not going to get better than that. You know, if you can't find something better on the open market, you got to use your money. It's better to hold on to your guys than lose the asset and get nothing in return. So you always have to do that calculation.
Well, Rob's extension looks great.
That's too soon. That's way too soon, Bobby.
I mean, he's playing great.
Rob's extension looks great. He's played like seven games.
He's been really good. He's playing 30 minutes.
He's been really good, but he's got to play, bottom line. It'll be good if he can play.
When you extend a guy, you look for them to get better. I think the question's with Smart, whether he's going to get better over the length of that deal. But Rob for sure looks better when he's out there.
I wouldn't say that, though. I mean, he started off this season not looking better at all.
He's playing 30 minutes, Jimmy, which is, like, in itself stunning. And
when he's playing, he's playing more minutes. Yes, but there's still games where he's not playing at all, and there's still games where he's playing below the rim.
And he still doesn't look nearly as springy as he did last year.
I don't know why you're just listen. I like Rob as much as the next guy, unless he's John. But I think from game to game, it's you don't know what you're gonna get. Some games he does look better. Some games he doesn't look better. Some games
he
doesn't play at all.
Very consistent effort now. There's not the highs of last year, but I think you look on the whole, he's their best net rating player. He's a sound defender at this point, rather than following too much or taking too many risks like he did before.
And, you know, I think there's definitely been improvement in his game for sure. I'm just not ready to say that you know, is a great. I'm just too soon to say one way or the other. I need to see more consistency. I need to see more availability.
Yeah. The health is the one, yeah. But, you know, we can't forecast that. And I think overall it's been pretty decent so far. You know, a few flare-ups. Recent thing's a sickness, right? That has nothing to do with that. So I've been impressed with him. I thought he was good again tonight.
You know what bugs me? I don't want to be that guy. There's a couple of instances tonight where Rob gets the ball in a situation where he's got to at least consider squaring up for a jumper, and he immediately gives it away to somebody else. He's not even threatening to have some semblance of an offensive game. He's got to friggin' do it. There was one time where he and Tatum worked a give and go, and it was literally like Tatum passed to him. He's 1 foot away, and Rob's like, here, and he just threw it right back to him. He's 1 foot away from him, and Tatum's like, okay, I guess I'll dribble to the corner. Rob could have turned and squared up with a little elbow jumper, uncontested. He has to start doing that. He's literally getting it and just turning, looking for the next guy to pass to with no consideration for what's in front of him. Whether it's a driving lane or the ability, he's got to square up for those.
You talk about that play. The one that bothered me was, I want to say he caught it around the free throw line, saw a guy in front of me and said, nope, turned around, found, I believe it was, who was that? I forget who was that. It was someone behind the arc for another look. But it was like, man, you had the ball in the paint. It's a one-on-one matchup. Go straight up with that. And don't even think twice, you know? Yeah. I just thought that alone has to change. The jump shot thing, we've seen him try it in the preseason.
He can shoot those. He's got to work that into his game.
But I'm more concerned about that situation. Like,
he's gone backwards with that.
Up, you know, face to face with somebody, you have to go straight up with
He used to look more comfortable doing that, John, for sure.
No, he's comfortable above the rim. He'll jump over anybody for an alley-oop. But when he has the ball in his hand, and you know, both hands on the ball and one-on-one situation in the paint, he shies away from it.
That's where I worry about him. He doesn't show anything in those spots. Dies, it gets stripped from him. He has to throw it back out. There's just no semblance of a post game or even a threat for himself in the post, which is
we're not asking him to be a presence down there, but it's got to be an option. You can't eliminate the possibility of taking a few of those shots and looking for your offense from time to time. Your entire offense.
This is where a double big hurts.
Can't be waiting for someone to lob it to you. There has to be a little bit more in there. So again, we talked about Rob's evolution. Fine, he's playing more minutes. That's the good part. I want to see. You know, you wanted to see a slight evolution in his offensive game, whether it was develop a single post move or just to consistently be ready to take that 12 to 15 footer if left wide open. He's got to do that.
Yeah, he makes up for it with his passing. If he didn't have,
and it's great because he keeps the ball moving, and that's good too. He just has to. It has to be in there too. We're only talking about 2 to 3 shots, you know, per game more.
Happen often for sure.
It doesn't need to happen that much, right? But I want to see more of that. That's all. All right, I think we've exhausted everything we need to talk about, guys. Closing thoughts here before we wrap it.
Tatum took the podium tonight. Did you guys see anything from that, from his quotes or anything?
Nothing that really stood out.
Has he gone yet?
They're all done. Yeah,
he went. I got one here.
Closing thoughts: become the road warriors right now. You know, become a team that you can limit
team
other
dinners, team meetings.
I mean, hey, listen, this could be the trip to do it. No Damian Lillard waiting for you in Portland. No LeBron James waiting for you in LA. You know what I mean? Phoenix, that's a tough one. But changes the road trip a bit here, right? You know, at least with those two teams.
Yeah, you get lucky.
Give yourself a chance for two wins there. That's what you're probably expecting out of this one.
So carry that momentum on the defensive end and say, hey, look, we're, you know, this is a golden opportunity, you know, heading out west and not having to face two of the top scorers in the NBA, you know?
Yeah, those two Warriors.
Teams that are really thirsty for a win, you know? Talk about a team like the Trailblazers and the Lakers. Like, they're really trying to turn things around.
Yeah, it's them and the Jazz you got to get out there because the Jazz have been shooting terrible this year. You probably have a chance to catch them on Friday. It's the front end of the road trip there, so Russian probably isn't sending too much. Or maybe the jet lag is. Who knows? The Suns and the Warriors, you look at them last night, they're on a different echelon from pretty much everybody else in the league right now, so probably not counting on wins there. But, you know, the Clippers, they're beatable. The Lakers, like you said, injured, a little vulnerable right now. And then Portland's on this trip too, right, Josue, you said? So, mm-hmm. I mean, there's a handful of wins there.
By the way, Bobby, though, real quick, Portland's on the trip, but Golden State waits for the Celtics here, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, so that's the first home game.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going on the road trip to Golden State.
So it's five. It's Utah, Portland, LA.
Right. Jimmy, did you give your thought?
No, I was going to read a tweet.
We're just going to list every game the Celtics are going to play, apparently.
Let's break down the schedule.
John scratches his eye out.
We're looking ahead at the schedule.
For our final thought.
We just got so sad right there.
And then it's Washington, and then it's Cleveland, and then it's...
we're evaluating the team.
You know what?
First, like, Celtics podcast ever recorded.
I think they could go 10-11 over their next 21. Like, come on.
Yeah, I'm really looking at that Christmas Day game, guys.
No way.
What do you guys think about Christmas Day?
They're definitely not going to win over it.
Let's go.
Yeah. No, I was just going to read a tweet quote that I saw on Tatum. This is Keith Smith tweeted it. Jason Tatum on his role in the offense sometimes being to let others do the playmaking. This is what Jason Tatum said. I saw a report the other day that said I was a selfish player. That seems pretty unselfish of me. There's 82 games. Sometimes you need to play off the ball too. So shooting down the report from ESPN, from those unnamed rival executives that were kind of trashing him a little bit.
Yeah, well, I will say this. I don't want to turn into a Tatum trash party. It's the first time he's been criticized for the most part.
Yeah.
And he's hearing every bit of it, you know, and like some people can block it out. We always talk about it. Jalen, he's another one who hears it, doesn't like it, plays the chip on the shoulder.
I think
game.
A lot of the guys in the Celtics seem to hear
and
it.
Man,
over the
Tatum,
years.
For the first time ever, people are saying stuff about him that wasn't gushing positive. He's going to be upper echelon guy, top 10 player, and he does not like it at all. You know, that last press conference a game ago, oh, man, you know,
Take it out on the court, you know?
Well, hey, you know what, though?
Fine. Use the chip on the shoulder.
Yeah, use a chip on your shoulder. Get used to people talking shit because that's kind of unfortunately where this world is right now. A lot of people have a lot of negative things to say about you, and they have avenues to do so. So you can tune it in and you can get all caught up in it, or you can tune it out, or you can use it as, like you guys said, fire. As Johnny Most here said,
shut us up.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Right. Seriously. Yeah, exactly. Shut them up.
I think you had a good week in that regard. You know, a step in the right direction.
Good.
Well, he had a good fourth quarter tonight. I mean, he scored for them tonight. I think he had, 10 or 11 points in the fourth quarter tonight. And they're obviously going to need him to be their go-to scorer, especially if Jaylen Brown's still hampered by this injury. They need him to be dropping 25-plus in this road trip. So, yeah, I mean, like he said, the different games, you need to do different things. But at the end of the day, it's nice that he's grabbing the rebounds and contributing in those ways, but he's got to be giving him 25 points a night on this road trip if they want to have a chance.
Yeah, I asked him this week about just the habit building there, because it's obvious they're trying to break the bad habits with him and other guys, but it's mostly about him and develop some good ones. And, you know, he was looking back at his San Antonio time and saying, we took us like 15 years almost to like just show Tony Parker himself not getting off the ball at certain points where he should be and not just leaning on his scoring.
I got a Tatum quote.
Developing that.
You got another Tatum quote, Josue?
There's a patience involved in this for sure.
Josue, what do you got?
I'm trying to go through the drill in here. Make this quick. Jason Tatum on Jaylen Brown's struggles. I'm going to be there for him like he's been there for me. When we get down sometimes, we're just there for each other. I tell him that he's got to be the best version of Jaylen Brown. And he's going to be.
Watch
the show. You guys know, right? They watch the show.
Brad's a poet.
Stevens is still very much a part of this.
I think they're texting, which is fine. That's awesome. I wouldn't be surprised if these guys text daily, him and Brad.
We don't think Brad had an impact on this room. Everybody says that line now. It's unreal.
I love that shit.
It's true, though.
And Brad,
you have to be the
Brad's
best
reading the code, like, yep.
It'll be on the Brad statue.
I love
Brad's
that.
Loving
the
it.
Best version. When there's a Brad statue outside the Garden one day, it will say the best version of himself.
Best version of himself. anyway, all right, we'll wrap it up unless anyone's got something terrific. Thank you, guys. West Coast, you won't see everybody here. We do have
I'll be here Friday night.
Bobby will be hanging out. Josue will be out at a couple of games, so we'll get some West Coast representation for him out in L.A.
Sherrod's that's why you got that fresh cut. That's why you got that lineup. Okay.
Sherrod's going to be out another there. One, Jimmy, in a week.
Sherrod's going to be out there for us, man. Too, so we'll hear from Sherrod when he's out there also. He'll be back on the show Friday night as well, so we'll have the whole band on Friday. And like I said,
nice.
We've got CLNS hitting the road, doing some West Coast travel here. Bobby's got a swing of games he's going to be traveling to on the East Coast. Josue's more of our West Coast guy. Bobby's our East Coast guy. That's how we do it, right?
Yeah. What coast do you see me traveling to, John? Is there another coast that I'm not aware of?
Portland, baby.
Yeah, send him to Milwaukee.
Yeah.
You're my Midwestern guy.
I'm doing Milwaukee and Cleveland. And
you're my Rust Belt guy.
Oklahoma City.
Jimmy, I need you to get the swing voters, okay?
I'm coming to pick you up. We're going to Maine.
I'm a flyover state guy. Everyone knows that about states. Me. I'm a big flyover state guy. I care about those people because nobody else does.
Yeah, exactly.
That's where I come in.
I want you going out to real America, okay?
Yeah. Talk to real America. Knocking on doors, asking them if what they think of the Celtics. And
I want you in every friggin' diner in America.
Yeah, can we set that up, Jimmy, with the locals? I would love it.
I'll hit the road tomorrow. I'm gonna have to drive too.
Yeah,
because you can't fly a plane to half these states.
Yeah, no.
I'll be here Friday night. I'm gonna have to get a haircut now too because Josue got his. So
I'm gonna get a haircut too.
Go to Indiana, Jimmy.
I'm getting mine Friday. I will be on the show with a fresh cut Friday night.
All of us, we're all doing it.
Yep.
Deal.
Join us at 1 a.m.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, pretty much.
Oh god, not that again.
Good night.